Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. There's nothing to talk about. We're all waiting for the big bomb tomorrow. Apparently it's the birth date of the maniac's grandfather in North Korea. And I guess he wants to test the sixth nuclear weapon underground. And Trump's doing gunboat diplomacy, sending a fleet in there to scare him. Yeah, well, we tested the big bomb the other day in Afghanistan. No one actually saw it, but we hear it was a big, big, tremendous success. We saw a picture of a hole in the ground. The Pentagon's getting to test bombs that were sitting around for a while on the old runway there. They polished it up, cleaned them up, gave it a new Simon eyes, and released it on Afghanistan. Huge, huge crater. Big, big crater. I understand that this new bomb that they have, the Pentagon, releases more destructive force than Chris Christie after eating a three-day-old plate of corned beef and cabbage. Actually, on some days we hear that the new bomb that the U.S. Air Force has releases more kinetic energy than Gerald Nadler after eating a 10-day-old onion knish. Or I heard on some days the bomb releases more energy than Robert De Niro on the seventh day of a Goodfellas shoot eating cold pasta fagioli. Or Kim Jong-un after eating a kimchi orgy. Now that I've opened the show with some jokes about flatulence, you'll know where my head is at right now. I am so bored of the news. I am so disinterested in politics that I open it up to you as Open Mic to Mike Friday. The phone number is 855-407-2282. Is Trump's war over? We don't know. I mean, he turned it around pretty good. Like in one day, it went from Trump to who? I don't know who it is now. But on some levels, we're still getting some value for our money. I mean, I understand he just knocked out the bathroom bill. The Justice Department won't pursue the bathroom bill against North Carolina. I suppose that's a sort of a little victory here and there. And I think we're going to have little victories here, little victories there. Again, I invite you to call at 855-407-2282 for the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage. Any topic is fair game. How can you talk about this anymore? How is it even possible to talk about this without having your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth? So the generals are having fun. That's all. They're getting to use all the weapons that Obama kept away from their hands. He kept them all away from their hands. No bombs. They had no bombs. They got to test the Tomahawks last week in Syria. They used Syria as our Guernica, very much like our Guernica. They got to test the missiles fired from this destroyer. They found out they were about 60% accurate. And, of course, now we have destroyers off the coast of North Korea dialed in on some facilities here and there, I guess, now that we've tested the Tomahawks in Syria on an empty airfield. And we see that we have a 60% accuracy rate or thereabouts. They're ready to go again. They're ready to fly them off the coast of North Korea, having run a nice live test on Syria under the pretense of a chemical attack. Now they're admitting they don't know if it was sarin gas, which I told you about last week. I was the first to say it didn't look like sarin, but that went over the heads of all the geniuses in the media. They ate a hook, line, and sinker, whatever the government media complex told them to say. They said, all the boys and girls in the news media, sarin gas. No, it's not a neurological gas. We saw that. Those of us who knew anything about it knew it wasn't. But okay, let's put that aside. So we're not justifying the use of gas, but who released the gas? I don't care. I don't know. False flag, not false flag. It was an excuse for Trump to thump, and Trump thumped, and his ratings went right up, as predicted. Every time any other president got in trouble, all they got to do is have a little war, and bingo, the ratings go right up. Didn't it work for Clinton with Wag the Dog? You forgot Serbia. You forgot the Kosovo War, the fake war that he invented. Well, it worked for him. Got Monica Lewinsky right off the headlines, right? So it's a tried and true method. And the more war, the higher the ratings. It's just the way it works. So get ready for more war. Maybe not a big one, mind you. I'd say a big one. Big wars are very bad for ratings. Small wars are very good for ratings. So we'll have small wars. A little launch here, a little launch there, here a launch, there a launch, everywhere a launch. And it'll be a beautiful thing. These will be beautiful missiles, beautiful missiles, beautiful. We have big submarines, big, big, big submarines, beautiful big submarines. Very beautiful, very big submarines. I thought that we didn't have submarines anymore, but now we have big, beautiful submarines. So I guess they'll be used soon. They haven't been used in a while. I mean, they're just sitting around doing nothing. They're basically useless. They're training centers of some kind, but they don't actually do anything. And now, of course, we have a president who likes gunboat diplomacy. So I suspect we're going to see our submarines used, our destroyers. Guess everything in the armament, in the entire inventory will be used. They can dust them all off, give them a Simon eyes, put them out there, get them detailed up, detail the old bombs, the Moabs, and release them. So what are we going to do about North Korea? What do I know? What are we going to do about North Korea? The guy's a lunatic. What would you do about it? What can you do about it except kill him? And by the way, say, I'm a hypocrite. No, I actually think that they should use major weapons on North Korea. I said that last week. Don't say that that's different than that. Don't say I'm being inconsistent. I'm being very consistent. We had no right to bomb Syria. No right whatsoever. It was a complete invention. We had no right to turn Russia into an enemy instead of an ally against ISIS. That's why I opposed it. But I said, and I say it again, this man is a grave threat to the stability of the world. And somebody has to stop him. Now, whether it will be China internally and quietly, we don't know. Maybe they could send Jesse Jackson over there with Sean Penn. Maybe they can share a big meal with the guy and calm him down. Boy, they could always send Madeleine Albright back. She enjoyed herself over there about 10 years ago. That hag, that warmongering hag who belongs in The Hague. Remember her? Remember old Madeleine Albright? That crazy woman, the brisket maker from Georgetown? She went to North Korea. He had 30,000 slaves dance for her. She came back saying it was a beautiful event, like a bar mitzvah. She came back saying it was fabulous. They were starving to death eating glass and straw while she enjoyed stuffing her face with God knows what, all the delicacies that they could steal from the land. So they could send her over there. But I see I got interesting calls now. That's the interesting thing. That's what I want is nice calls today, because I don't really want to talk much more about the news. There's nothing more that can be said that I've already said. Take them out already. Get it over with. Integrate North Korea with South Korea. Give the people a chance in North Korea to make a buck. I mean, they're industrial people, industrious people, the same ethnic group as the South Koreans. Look how well the South Koreans did that they got rid of communism. But don't tell that to the people at Harvard. They don't want to know about real life 101. They want to read a textbook about the wonders of socialism. So let's do the callers. That's all. Let's go to Lou on WABC, line 8. What's on your mind, Lou?
It's an honor to speak to you, sir.
Let's stop with the honor. I do this for a living, but I appreciate the sentiment. What's on your mind?
So a few years ago, I took a trip to Spain. Right around this time of year. It's beautiful.
I'm sorry to hear it.
In the run-up to that, I did a bit of research on the country, and I got interested in the bullfight.
I hate bullfighting. I think it's antiquated. I think it should be outlawed, personally.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I was quite torn over it.
You know who introduced the sadism of bullfighting to Spain, don't you?
I believe it was the Romans.
No, my friend, it was our good friends, the old Muslims.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Very popular in that part of the world.
Well, you know...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, anytime there's a bloodthirsty sport, you can always trace its origins and invariably leads back to a certain particular mindset. Let's put it that way. No, bullfighting is disgusting. Every time I see a matador get gored, I cheer for the bull.
You know what? They each run the risk, you know, and there's a beauty in that. There's a tension.
Yeah. I read Hemingway on the bullfights with the outfits there. The tight crotch. Yeah, I get the whole thing.
You know, I'll tell you, it's kind of interesting. When we went to Spain, you know, my wife is totally against it, and she was fighting me tooth and nail to try and see this bullfight. You know, everything was getting in the way of this bullfight. You know, there was no way I was going
to
make it.
I am against torturing animals. To me, it's immoral to torture an animal to death. Bullfighting is tormenting an animal until it dies. And to me, they're not heroes. They're all cowards.
You know, the...
I love to see a bull gore a matador. I love it. Let him go get a regular job somewhere, smuggling drugs from Algeria instead of torturing a bull.
Guys,
they can make an honest living. They can smuggle hashish in from Algeria.
Well, let me. I'll just tell you a funny story. You know, Barcelona in that
a cesspool, a toilet. Barcelona is like the toilet of Spain.
Well, they've outlawed the bullfight and the old bull ring. It's kind of interesting when you go into the main center of square in Barcelona. The old bull ring. You see this beautiful old bull ring. And they took down the sign, Corrida de Toros, and now it's something like a Walmart, and you can actually see behind the sign, Corrida de Toros.
What do you buy, like bull whips in there, like synthetic bull whips from Korea?
You know what? I don't know what they do there. But you don't like Barcelona? I thought it was.
I was there years ago. It was a toilet bowl. I hated it. It was like a dirty, fecocta city. I couldn't wait to get out of there. It was ugly, dirty, like Las Ramblas. I don't know. What's there to be in? What's in Barcelona? What was so nice about it? Horrible. What is it? It's like Brooklyn.
Well,
like everybody speaks Spanish. It looks like the Bronx there now. I don't understand what's so exciting about it. You know, wherever you go in the world, they all dress the same. There's not even regional outfits anymore. There's nowhere on earth that you can go that doesn't look the same. People wearing disgusting shorts and dirty sneakers. Men walking around with their knees showing. I mean, what's exciting about going anywhere anymore? I don't get it. The only reason to go to Europe anymore is to see the art that's left over from the 1500s. Or let's say through the 1800s. Otherwise, what would you go there for? The pizza's better in New York than it is in Rome. The food in Rome is horrible. They don't know how to cook in Rome anymore. They lost the art of cooking. Most of them are immigrants from Yugoslavia. They forgot how to cook Italian food. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. From the bird to the bird brain, one generation. No one could play like this. Well, there's a few people around. No one even knows who he is. Too complicated to learn a thing like this, so no one bothers. You make a living as a web designer. What do you want to learn how to play a saxophone for? Why learn anything? So you can see, I'm not in the news mood today. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it all. No, I realize there's no longer a dessert at Mar-a-Lago. I got that. I get it. The state dinner is over. I get it. Dinner with the president in a cozy little setting in the East Room, over. The night at the Lincoln bedroom, forget about it. Okay, I got it. What am I supposed to do now? Cheer everything he does? Dropping the bomb. Pentagon video shows devastation by Afghanistan blast targeting ISIS. I'm supposed to thrill over that? Yay, they dropped the mother of all bombs. Great. I feel much better. Well, another practice mission. Of course it was a threat to North Korea. The goofball over there. And the goofball switched from a military uniform. Did you notice? Now he's wearing like an expensive suit. You got to look very carefully. Fatso from North Korea went from the military uniform with that weird haircut. Who cuts the guy's hair with all that? He has all this power. All these people are starving to death. Can he get a better barber? They have no hairstylist over there. So what that hair do with his? I mean, a guy of a certain weight, you start to look like Porky Pig when you cut the hair that close around the ears. But putting aside the idea that he doesn't know how to get a good haircut, he went from wearing a military uniform to some expensive Savile Row suit. What was that? With a shirt and tie today. He was like trying to show he's a statesman all of a sudden. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Maybe he's not going to set off another firecracker there. Fear of Trump makes illegals disappear from Mexican border. That's a good thing. They're not coming in anymore in the great numbers anymore with the welcoming signs. The welcome wagon isn't waiting for them anymore. Fear of Trump makes migrants disappear from Mexican border. That's a great thing. Their border town shelter used to be full of migrants. We don't call them migrants, we call them illegal aliens. Now it stands nearly empty, thanks to America's president. Yes, thanks to the American people who elected the president. We don't want them here anymore. We're sick of it. We have a sovereign nation. We want our borders as protected as the Mexicans protect their border from Guatemala and El Salvador. Go look and see what the Mexicans do on their own border and see if they have a welcome wagon for people coming in from Guatemala, you idiots, you. See what they do to keep their country sovereign. When we start seeing them going south, that'll be the best step, when they start to self-deport, if that happens. Now, I want to be clear on that. I don't even want to discuss it. I've been very clear on this issue, which is this. I have no problem with immigrants who come here to work. I have a huge problem with the amount of social services available to their families and them once they get here. So if this guy's making $20 an hour working on some horrible job somewhere, doing some hard work that you won't do, or your son won't do because he's too lazy getting high somewhere in a college, he's making $20 an hour, $22 an hour, whatever they're paying him. If you add in the social services, the cost of the wife at home with the kids, the medical, the dental, the legal, the this, the that, he's not making $22 an hour. God knows what he's making an hour. You're picking up the tab that the employer's not paying him. That's what has to stop. That's what it's all about. That's all. What do you want to talk about? I don't want to talk about North Korea. I don't want to talk about any of this. I'm so, my brain is clearer today. I got to tell you, that Sudafed wore off. Thank God I can think again. In fact, I woke up laughing at 3 o'clock in the morning. I know that I'm okay when I start laughing at my own bad jokes. That's where I came up with the idea of the bomb, the Moab, the mother of all bombs, has more destructive force than Gerald Nadler after eating a 10-day-old onion knish. I mean, I started to laugh in the bed. The dog thought I was crazy 3 o'clock in the morning, cold, middle of the night. I thought it was funny. But then when you get to the show, by the time you get to the show, 25 hours later, it's not funny anymore. But there is something humorous about that. But no one, the problem with that joke is that no one knows who Gerald Nadler is, number one, and number two, he lost weight. Number three, they don't understand that an onion knish generates a lot of bowel gas. You have to know all those things in order to put those pieces together to laugh at it. So I added new things, like as much destructive force as Robert De Niro on the seventh day of a Goodfellas shoot eating cold pasta fagioli. Again, you got to understand what that is. It's old food, right? Movie set. Pasta fagioli is a bean soup. But if you don't know any of those pieces, it's not funny. I'm explaining humor to you right now. Back in a minute. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. My
heart. No, I turn it off. See, certain things don't, they don't live through the ages. That's not a big deal. In its time, yes. The whole deal. The Rat Pack. The whole scene. Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis. The whole, that era, gone. No one even knows who they are. Let alone Frank Sinatra. Maybe if you hear it in a restaurant somewhere, it has a little nostalgia, but no one cares about any of that anymore. The world has changed so rapidly, it's hard to even know what is culturally interesting, let alone popular. I don't listen to the music of, like, Rihanna. Actually, I like Rihanna the Witch. Play Rihanna the Witch. She's very talented, especially now the warmongers are back. We got the crazy generals who want to take over the world. Look at this guy McMaster. That's better than Frank Sinatra right now. I turn it off. Now, I'm sitting here. I'm watching the guys on the screen in Dallas. They're enjoying a pizza. I am so jealous. I've got a Skype screen. I got Clint filling in today for Jim. He's got a pizza there. I'm so hungry. How'd you pay for pizza, I said, in Dallas? $20 they paid for what looks like a small pizza to me. They robbed them over there. It's like out of town. Nobody paid $20 for pizza in New York. Are you kidding? They pay like $6, $7. It's like a pizza war in New York delivered to a radio studio. Why is that food always tastes better like when you're eating it on the run somewhere, like at work? You can get a pizza anytime, anywhere, right? But like if you work and you get hungry and you order it, it tastes so good. It comes in, and I'm jealous. I'm eating a reheated noodle dish from a Chinese restaurant from yesterday. I'm not complaining. Well, what would I want? A power lunch somewhere in the Four Seasons? I cannot stand fancy restaurants. Sometimes I say, why am I living this lifestyle? I'm just thinking out loud. I have the means to, let's say, go to the best restaurant in San Francisco, put on the suit. I hate eating like that. I can't even digest my food. Usually the food is garbage in those restaurants, number one. And number two, I'm so uptight from sitting there. It's the old formula. They want you to sit there and order the two drinks. That's where they make their profit. So by the time the food comes, you're so numb you don't know what you're eating anyway. They don't make their money on food. And you know very well in a restaurant business, if you have a margin of 10%, you're considered a genius. That's if you can make 10%. You're making a huge margin. It's the toughest business in the world, the restaurant business. So you can't blame them for not serving your food right away. They make you sit there. You get the glass of wine, $12 now, $13. Think it's something special. It's like eight cents worth of wine in there. It's like 2 cents chuck now in a glass. But they'll give me another one. Then you don't know by the time the food comes. So I'm happy sitting here in the radio studio, in a home studio. Look what happened to O'Reilly going to fancy meals. Now, speaking to the guys who knew, well, I can't divulge certain things about certain things, but both of these guys have been in the radio business a long time. They knew a lot of these people in the radio business that used to come through town. They all thought they were movie stars. Everyone in the radio business confuses themselves with a rock star. And then they think they want the benefits of the rock star, I was told. Not anyone in particular, but a lot of people seem to think that they're rock stars when they come to town. And things happen, so it's better to have a home studio. There's nobody here. Nothing could go wrong. Even the dog isn't here today. It's his grooming day. It's much better that way, being a hermit. There's less trouble, I got to tell you. All right, let's take some calls. Ed on... No, let's go to Vince on WABC, line 3. You could see I'm in a little oddball mood today. What's on your mind, Vince?
Listen, I listened to you for years. I listened to you. You're the best there is. Okay?
Well, I hope you can give me a break on a day like today, because I am not doing the news. We're sitting here waiting for the bomb to go off in North Korea, that's all.
I just want to talk to you about the music you picked from Charlie Parker. Today you played Louis and his wife. And
right.
You need to really listen to the music of that band, because Sam Butera and The Witnesses, his band, they are a kick-ass band, man.
I don't know. Is this like a call to plug it? Are you calling just to plug a local band? Because I don't know the purpose of the call.
They're not even around anymore. That's Louis Prima.
So we're going to have like a nostalgia show, old guy nostalgia show, talking about groups no one ever heard of.
Heard of? Come on, man. The only reason you know that song, Round and Round I Go and Down I Go, is because you know about Louis Prima.
Okay. Are you an old musician, Vince?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then you're allowed. Then you get license.
Okay. So let me just tell you.
All right. So let's say you're an old musician. Let's talk about your life as a musician in your heyday. What was it like being on the road as a musician in the, what, 50s?
It's still my heyday.
What do you mean? You're still on the road?
I'm not working 6-7 nights, sometimes twice a day.
What, you are? You're still working like that? That's something I don't understand. Where do you guys get the energy for that? Is it drugs?
There's no energy needed. When you get to do what you love to do, you don't need no energy.
What do you play? What instrument?
I'm a jazz guitarist. I play 7-string guitar.
So you go to different clubs and venues 7 nights a week?
Yeah, man. I got a restaurant gig for every Monday night for the last 11 years.
And it doesn't wear you out?
No way. I live to do it.
So, in other words, you get depressed when you're not playing.
You better believe it. I don't like nights off.
Right.
When I got a night off, I sit in the house and practice.
No, I'm listening to you. It's very interesting, because I watch entertainers. I don't know where they get the energy from.
Well, that's entertainers. I'm a musician.
Hmm.
I've been playing guitar all my life. I did it as a rock and roll guitar player when I was young. I went to Berkeley.
And your hands don't hurt you and as you get older, your hands don't hurt?
Oh, my hands hurt. Let me tell you something.
Yeah. But what do you do to keep the hands, you know, from locking up? What do you use? Got a special cream?
No, I just get warmed up, man. You play until you don't feel the pain no more.
Oh, so you're like a martial, like a fighter. You fight through the punches.
Yeah, man. You just, you know, you get to the point where it don't hurt no more.
In other words, it's like a marriage. You know, you just live through it.
Right. That's right.
Sorry, come on. I couldn't resist that one.
You wake up and then you start to practice and it's all gone again.
All right, so speaking of musicians, come on now. You talk about Charlie Parker. How many people remember Charlie Parker? Did you actually ever see him play?
No musician remembers Charlie Parker, because Charlie Parker has still and will still teach them everything they know about improvisation on the 12-bar blues and also on his master lines. Which
interesting. My favorite piece of his is Bloom Dito. I don't know who it was written for, but I love that sound, which we'll play in a minute. Vince, I'm honored that you listened to the show out of New York on WABC, that a musician on his day off would take the time out to listen to me. But I don't blame you, because here it is. Is this Bloom Dito? Just listen to the rhythm of the piano. Man, many people don't understand where I get my energy from. The answer is I have no idea. Oh, listen, when they come back in with that rhythm and then the melody right after, it's very beautiful. So I listen to a lot of music, different kind of music, in order to get my inspiration. And when I go flat, sometimes I have nowhere to turn at all, and I do turn to God. I know you say, oh, now he goes into the God stuff. Now he gets hokey. It's the last refuge, man, but it's always there for you. And now we're coming up to Easter Sunday. A lot of people do go to church. You're like, you know, fallen, lapsed Catholics go to church even on, they make the appearance on Sunday. They put on the hour. It's very nice to see the families. We're living in such strife right now in the world. When you see what those SOBs did to the Christians in Egypt just last week, it's heartbreaking. What did the Pope say about it? Nothing. You got a mumble. Nothing. Nothing. What are you? He should have spoken a little more forcefully about the Muslim setting off a suicide bomber inside a church. There's almost no Christians left in Egypt. The Coptic Christian community has been there for thousands of years. They should be protected. They're in greater danger than the elephants are in Africa right now. But I don't want to get too preachy right now. I'm just saying, you know, there is always that. Why do you think the Bible is called the Rock of Ages when you think about it? You know, I'll never forget something about the Bible for all you tough people out there who don't believe in God or anything. I got to tell you the story. Very famous prize fighter, long deceased, name was Rocky Graziano. Does anyone raise your hand if you ever heard of him? Great, great fighter, middleweight fighter in his day. Italian, of course. And he was the subject of an autobiography that he wrote or ghosted called Somebody Up There Likes Me, which became a great movie. Well, years later, well, I don't know what years it was in my life. I must have been 20. I don't know how old. In my 20s, one of my friends, I don't know if I can say this, but I get a lawsuit, everything I'm afraid to say. But I met him. A friend of mine who's since deceased was marrying Rocky's daughter. There's nothing wrong with that. My friend is since deceased. I hadn't seen him, by the way, since then. I wound up leaving New York. I never saw him again. But I remember to this day the energy. I was in the room with Rocky Graziano and a rabbi because his daughter was converted, being married by a Jewish, obviously a rabbi, because the guy I knew was Jewish, marrying a daughter. And Rocky was sitting there, and I was so awestruck to be around a champion. Remember what it is to be around a champion. You can remember what that is. It's still a great big deal, even today. But in those days, maybe it had even more meaning. So it was just him, the rabbi, my friend, and the daughter, we were in that room. And Rocky put his hand on the Bible, and I looked at him because I didn't know if he believed in it or not. And he saw my eyes. You know, these guys can read everything. That's how they get to be the tops. So he looks at me, and he says, listen, kid. He said, don't be so surprised. He said, this is the Rock of Ages for a reason. I never forgot that as long as I live. And I felt that if a tough guy like him could say a thing like that, and I knew he meant it, there must be something to it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I got to tell you something, maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but a breach of an online tool that was used for federal student loan applications may have compromised up to 100,000 taxpayers. The IRS data tool allows tax returns to be uploaded to the free application for federal student aid. Well, identity thieves use stolen data to file fake tax returns, and the IRS estimates that 8,000 fraudulent refunds were issued, totaling $30 million. Listen to this. The tool was taken offline in March after the breach was discovered, and the IRS has started notifying people who may have been affected. But identity theft happens when thieves use your information to pretend that they're you. And what do? Is they buy things on your credit, they liquidate your bank accounts, or even get your retirement funds. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. If they detect your information, they send you an alert. If you have a problem, a U.S.-based agent will work to fix it. Free credit monitoring only alerts you to changes in credit. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. We all know that. But LifeLock is the best identity theft protection available. Memberships start at only $9.99 a month plus taxes. So go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code SAVAGE. You got it, that's SAVAGE, for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com. Save 10% now. Let's go to some of the callers in the remaining minutes of this hour on the Savage Nation. Matt on KMAJ Radio. KMAJ Radio, line 7. What's on your mind, Matt?
Dr. Savage, I am totally bored with the news also. Not that I don't, that I'm not interested, but I feel the same way as you do. I love to listen to your show because I'm the great-grandson of Russian immigrants, and I love it when you talk about that. And my question is now, those people, I lived with my grandparents, so we used to go visit my great-grandmother, and they spoke Russian. All my granduncles would come over, and they used to talk about current events, this and that, you know, and they spoke with a wisdom that I don't hear anymore except for when I listen to your show. So my question is, what do you think your parents, how would they be reacting to the news of today?
If my parents were alive today and if my mother could wake up from the grave and my father could wake up and they look around what's going on in the country today, wow. Well, I tell you right off the bat, the first thing that comes to my mind is my mother would be appalled at how disgustingly dirty and filthy the entertainment industry has become. The filth coming out of the sewer pipe of Hollywood would sicken her. I don't think she'd ever go near a movie again. You talk about what's on television, everything gay, lesbian, trans. She wouldn't watch TV for fear that her brain would be polluted by it. That'd be the first thing. Is she would say, how could they put this on television? All this filth is what she would say. I'm just guessing now. I don't even want to tell you what my father would say because it's a family show. He didn't have a very nice view of things that were already occurring back in the age that he was still here. He died in 1970. And so you can just imagine what he would say about the world in which we live. On what level, though, would they be satisfied with our society? I mean, we have a relative affluence in the country today, don't we? Let's look at the positive compared to their day. My father was a single earner, owned a little store, made enough money to pay for a little house. Mother never worked. She didn't have to work. She was a homemaker. We were never well off, but we had, you know, the one car, the one vacation. No one ever missed a meal kind of thing. The house was always tidy. Today, people live like kings compared to that today, and they live on credit. They never, you know, they never lived on credit, by the way, Matt. That's the interesting thing. My father would buy a used car 3 years old, but he'd pay cash, and he was proud of it. He would think anyone who bought a newer car on credit was faking it. He'd look out the window and he would say, who do they think they are? They're not fooling anybody. They can't afford that car. But our whole society today is written on credit, isn't it? So everything is not real. What's real anymore? That's just a general thumb sketch. You know, I don't know how they would think. I mean, I'd sure like to see them. It'd be fun to talk to them. Sometimes I want to pick up a phone, but I realize she's been gone 15 years now, or whatever the number of years is, she's not there. People don't realize this about their parents, no matter how tough the relationship may be. Is the day is going to come that they're not going to be there for you. You better make the most of it while they're here. I can just guarantee you there's going to be the days that you look back and say, why didn't I pick up the phone? Why did I let it go on so long? Why? Because that's the world that we live in. I don't know if that answers your questions, but I appreciate your nostalgia on the Savage Nation. I'm glad I give you some sense of connection to your own ancestry, for whatever that may mean. I'll be back. This is the Savage Nation. When I come back, I'll read you an email I wrote to Laura Ingraham about my depression over the political world of today. You're not going to believe what she said.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is hour number two of the Savage Nation, this Rock and Roll Friday. Of course, we're just doing a little music today, and it's an open mic day because, look, I'm not going to focus on what, North Korea? What do I know about it? Will the crazy man set off another test, and will the Armada set off some missiles, and will there be another war, or will China step in and stop the lunatic? We don't know what's going to happen, but tonight's a big night. We're all watching for that one. And those of us in the media who were responsible for let us say, pushing Donald Trump to the presidency, are very disturbed right now because of his turnabout on so many issues. I don't have to enumerate them for you. Yesterday there was a Politico article saying Trump's base supporters turn on him. Well, it's not exactly the truth. They're trying to divide and conquer. Politico has long been a left-wing publication. And they say Bannon's apparent downgrade. Many of Trump's most stalwart supporters, including radio show hosts Michael Savage and Laura Ingraham, call last week's bombing of Syria a betrayal of Trump's pledge to be an America First commander-in-chief who would avoid unnecessary conflicts overseas. So Laura sent it to me this morning, and I said, yes, I saw it. And I said they're trying to divide the base, but it seems to be a given that T has abandoned many of his pledges. I said, I am agitated and depressed. So she said, do not despair. That is the devil speaking. He loves us to be mired in it because then it prevents us from doing good. Michael, you're doing great. Keep it up. Trump will do some very good things, and when he doesn't, we will be the honest brokers to call him out. So she's one of the few people in the media who I communicate with, who I trust, by the way. And she and I both feel that, of course, we see what's going on. We're not blind. We know who took over, and we know exactly, you know, what direction he is going in. And that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. Phone number is 855-400-7282. It's open mic to Mike Friday. I would rather avoid politics. However, there is a soundbite that I want to play. There's a guy on Fox I was never impressed with. Why he was popular, I don't know. Charles Sourpuss Hammer. I've always found it to be a very, very doctrinaire, predictable liberal posing as a conservative. So he comes out yesterday, Sourpuss Hammer, and says, I'm not an America Firster. You hear this? He suddenly came out of the closet as the liberal he is? Are you listening to clip two? Listen to this. Are you shocked by Sourpuss Hammer? I'm not. Listen to O2.
Well, we don't really know what the Trump doctrine.
I welcome this. I'm not an America Firster. I thought it was a mistake to enunciate a doctrine in the inaugural address, which is we're coming home. It scared the bejeebies out of our allies. In NATO, what are you talking about it being obsolete? It scared in the Middle East. The Gulf Arabs were scared to death.
Oh, no. Okay, so now we know who Fox News is and who they like over there. So let's see. They got rid of O'Reilly. Now they got this creep left. I don't understand people how they ever fell for this Charles Sourpuss. I was never, ever impressed with him. I always thought he was a fraud. In the sense that, what is he? He's a New York liberal. I don't know how they ever presented him as a conservative. I don't understand that. But we don't have to relive this guy. He's just, another one of the talkers. He'll be forgotten in time. He won't be remembered for anything. I don't know what he's ever written that anyone will ever remember. A single line, a phrase, a title, nothing. Zero. Trump on military using GBU-43 bomb on ISIS in Afghanistan. Did he say it was beautiful? All right, here we go again. I got to play it just... If he says beautiful, we'll turn it off. Beautiful funeral, beautiful bond. Let's hear 05 now.
Very, very proud of the people. Another, really another successful job. We're very, very proud of our military. Just like we're proud of the folks in this room, we are so proud of our military, and it was another successful event.
All right, thank God, successful. It could have been a beautiful event, the bomb. I mean, it could have been seen as beautiful. You can't learn to love a bomb in a bomb crater. So then he goes on Moab, the mother of all bombs. And again, he avoids the word beautiful, thank God. But listen to 06. Let's see what the president says about the mother of all bombs.
Everybody knows exactly what happened. So, and what I do is I authorize my military. We have the greatest military in the world, and they've done a job as usual. So we have given them total authorization, and that's what they're doing. And frankly, that's why they've been so successful lately. If you look at what's happened over the last 8 weeks and compare that really to what's happened over the last 8 years, you'll see there's a tremendous difference, So we have incredible leaders in the military, and we have incredible military, and we are very proud of them. And this was another very, very successful mission.
I hope so. I don't know what it was. They blew something up in a cave? Does anyone know who was in there? What were they blowing up in there? They were hiding. Who was hiding in there? To me, it was a test job on a mountain somewhere in Afghanistan. The same way that they tested the destroyers' use of tomahawks on Syria. It's what you do before a war. You're going to test. An actual live, nothing compared to a live fire test. I mean, there's a lot of simulated testing, a lot of firing at the, you know, firing ranges. Not the same thing as a ship at sea getting to fire a live fire exercise on a Syrian air base. That's the real test. So in order to do that, you got to come up with an excuse for it. So you say sarin gas, even though there was no sarin gas. Then you say he did it. Then you don't know if he did it. Not sure if he did it. I have no idea why we did it. I think we know why he did it. That's over. We don't hate Russia anymore. They really are friends. Meanwhile, they tested the Tomahawk missiles on the Syrian airfield. So they're ready for North Korea now, where they should use them, incidentally. I'm on record for saying that. We cannot have a lunatic like Kim Jong, mentally ill-un, running around threatening the world like this. You know that Japan's ready to, or has evacuated 60,000 people? This is how serious this is. And at the same time, there's a potato chips shortage in Japan. They're not directly related, but I'm just saying, there's two things going on in Japan right now. Evacuation of 60,000 people and a potato chip shortage. Now, the potato chip shortage has nothing to do with North Korea. It's due to cyclones and storms that knocked out the potato crop in Hokkaido, and they don't want to import any more U.S. potatoes. People are nuts for potatoes in Japan. It's a cultural thing. Potato chips are very addictive. I don't eat them. Speaking about that. Okay, my friends, what would you like to talk about? Any topic is fair game. I'd rather avoid politics if I could, to be frank with you. I mean, how could you avoid it on a night like this? What time is it already in Korea? Is it dawn yet? Is the Rotund one awakened yet? The Chris Christie of North Korea? Joking. I mean, you can make all these jokes that you want. This is not a laughing matter. I mean, what is he going to do? What if he tests? What if he gets up and presses the button on a test, an underground nuclear test over there? What's Trump going to do? He's going to drop the Moab. He's going to break a mountain open. And then we'll see what happens. We hope it stops. I mean, we all do. And I do hope, really, that China steps in and stops him. How many years have I said to you that he is Korea's junkyard? He is China's junkyard dog. They keep him on an iron, you know, like a very, very powerful leash. And whenever they want to scare America, they let him growl. That's what I've seen going on for years now. I don't think he'd get away with anything unless China was pulling the strings on it. I think China's behind what he does. And it's working for them. Take a look at what I mean by that. Before Trump was elected, you remember how anti-China he was? They're manipulating their currency. We have dummies running America. Stupid people get out-traded. We're going to put tariffs on Chinese goods. I mean, he got it from two of my books. I get that. He knew it was a populist message. But I actually thought he believed it. Because he repeated it often enough, I actually believed him. Well, shortly after the dessert with Mr. Xi of China, suddenly there was no longer talk of a currency manipulator. There was no longer talk of tariff on Chinese goods. They're best of friends again. Now, you know, figure that one out. Well, why are they best of friends again? Well, there's a couple of reasons Trump has changed. One, because Goldman Sachs is advising him. And what's good for Goldman Sachs is good for the world, apparently. What's important for their bottom line is important for America, in that order. What's important for Goldman Sachs is much more important than what's important for America, obviously. But Gary Cohn is the smartest man on the inner circle, according to everyone who's describing him. And he worked his way up to be president of Goldman Sachs. And apparently he's advising the president, no tariffs, and don't make them change their currency. So you can say, okay, he's one of the main reasons that there's no longer any anti-China talk coming from Trump. The other reason is that China's used North Korea very effectively to somewhat, I would think, neutralize Trump's issues. That's all. I don't know the answer to the question, other than we have to stop this saber rattling. I detest gunboat diplomacy. I don't like using nations as testing grounds for weapons. It's that simple. So how you want to talk about it is your business. KLIF, Kate, line one, what's your topic tonight?
Well, back to the United flight. It has been reported that United is reimbursing all of the passengers who are on the now famed flight. And I wanted to know what your opinion was as far as that being witness bribing.
You think it's witness bribing? I think that the passengers were are being paid for another reason, not witness bribing. I mean, what are they paying them for?
That's what I'd like to know. Who hasn't been on a flight where they've been delayed or inconvenienced? Or there's been a...
Well, I think that they probably are going to get a payment if they sign a release saying they won't sue for trauma. If you were on that flight and you watched that Chinese guy being beaten up like that and dragged down the aisle by that thug who should be in prison, that fake cop that they gave us a uniform and a badge to, who is he, by the way? He's the one who should be in trouble right now. But if you had a kid on that flight and you watched that brutalization on an airplane, that kid would be very traumatized. So maybe that's what they're trying to allay, those kind of lawsuits. Thank you for the call. Okay, my friends. What do you want to talk about? How I know that God... Let's go to WABC. Randy, line two, what's your topic? Go ahead, please.
It must be God's intervention that I got through today. I guess because it's Good Friday.
Yep, I hope it's a very good Friday. What's on your mind?
You wanted to know how I know that God exists? You had asked.
Right in there? I don't... not you personally. Yeah, okay.
Because things couldn't be this screwed up.
Oh, a real cynic. We got a real live one today. So you obviously are a real cynic.
Yes, I am.
But it sounds like it worked for you. I like the gravelly voice.
Anyway, you think...
So how have you gotten through life being a non-believer? Has it worked for you?
One day at a time.
But do you ever think about when you're going to die, what it means?
Well, sometimes I do think there's a hereafter, and sometimes...
All right, so how does that fit with you don't believe God exists?
Do you think you're going to be
judged for your life?
Randy,
come on, we have to have a conversation. You're not answering quickly enough. Do you think
God,
as a non-believer, do you think that when you die, you're going to be judged by God, or some judgment in some way will be put down upon you?
I think our conception of God is probably way off the mark. He created the world, and it existed as it is, goes along on its own, and I don't think he would be so judgmental. But... you think God...
I think God is the most judgmental being imaginable, super being. He judges everything. Are you kidding? And he's unforgiving. God is unforgiving and very judgmental. That's the whole object of God. Otherwise, what good is he?
You think God brought you back so that you could get Donald Trump elected?
Back from where? Back from where he sent me?
I've heard you from rising up from the ashes. That you overcame.
No, you're asking me a very good question that you'd ask me if we were together. I've often thought about what am I on the earth for altogether? And number two, is there a reason to live? In other words, I have to believe there's a reason for my existence. So if I say to myself, what's my reason for existence? One of my reasons is to be on the radio. One of my reasons to be on the radio is what? To keep people entertained somewhat so they don't give up totally altogether. To keep the country from falling into some socialist hellhole. I would say there's some reason for me being on the radio. I would think you'd agree with me.
If saving America meant losing your job, would you do it?
How would that happen? Yeah.
Well, because in actuality, I think that you said the real hope for America, I think, was on March 24th when you said it. The country.
What? The real hope for America was what?
You said America needs a revolution, which is what it does. But, of course, Americans are too fat, they're too lazy, they're too risk-averse. We need a virtual revolution.
Well, we had a mild revolution it lasted about 100 days. We thought we had a leader of the revolution. Now they turned him around pretty good.
No, well, the problem is that when a tenderfoot wanders into the Okefenokee swamp, he gets swallowed up and is never heard from again.
Well, you, my friend, have a very colorful way of putting things, Randy. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for making my day. I'll be right back on this Good Friday, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'm reading the New York Post website. I read it every day. How the world's oldest porn star keeps it up for so long. All right, so I couldn't help looking at this. He's a Japanese guy. He's 80-some-odd years old, and he's in the porn business. Shigeo Takuda, 82, only became an adult entertainer when he was around the age of 70. And he credits his amazing stamina to eating eggs every day. That's stupid. At 70 years old, he started in the porn business? Okay, this is an interesting story. I really don't think it's the eggs, frankly. I don't think he's giving us the secret. It may be like snails from Hokkaido or something. How could it be an egg? Everyone who eats an egg is suddenly going to be a porn star? That's crazy. All right, it's a crazy story, I admit.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The song has a certain kind of pathos in it that's so touching. I don't know why. I have no idea what they're singing about. Oh, about a girl, she waits for me. Well, he wasn't going to list it, but sent to prison or what? I don't know who wrote this song, but it certainly has a pathos to it that is missing in songs today. Talk about pathos. Is it anything anymore? I don't know. What do they make in the movie business that is supposed to tug at your heartstrings anymore, other than sympathy for what? Transvestites? Or what did they try to create sympathy for anymore? Is it for the fallen soldier? The geniuses from Hollywood? What do they try to tug at your heartstring? Remember, there used to be a movie called The Tearjerker, right? When have you last seen a movie that makes you have sympathy for those who are really on the front lines of combat against the scourge of ISIS? I haven't seen one in a long while. The movies are still anti-military. They're still anti-war. They pretend that they aren't, but they still are. They haven't changed at all. Maybe it will change. All right, let's take some calls. KBOI. KBOI in Boise, Virginia, line 6. Line 6, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I called in reference to your book and also to when you were talking about death and being afraid of dying.
Mm-hmm.
Really, today is Good Friday, and the reason they call it good, of course, is because Jesus died so that we don't have to die forever. So some men are born once and die twice, and other people are born twice and die once. So that old term called born again, and that's when people receive Jesus as their Savior. And that means...
No, I mean, I respect that for Christians, but not everybody believes in that.
Agree. Totally, I agree. But I'm just saying that's why. And so I think...
What about the billions of people who don't believe in Jesus?
Well, if you look at Romans 1, I don't know how much you've read the New Testament, but men are without excuse. Because of nature, just looking at the sky, there's got to be.
But what about the billion Muslims on the planet who don't believe in Christianity? What about the millions of Jews? What about the hundreds of millions of Hindus? I mean, you can't say they're going to be damned because they don't believe in Jesus, can you?
Well, you know, you have to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. I think God will be very gracious. And to see how they've acted on what they did know. And that, I don't know how to answer that question. Mm-hmm. But I do know, and obviously, a lot of people are not Christians. But
well, I had this argument, or this discussion, to be specific, with Jerry Falwell, who I consider to be a great reverend. I loved him. He was on the show when he was still alive. And he said, frankly, and categorically said, that anyone who was not a Christian and didn't receive Jesus was going to be cursed and go to hell. Well, I took umbrage at that. I said, you can't say that all the other billions of people on the earth are categorically bad people because they haven't embraced Jesus. And he said, yes, I am saying that. I said, that's why people turn off from religion. They don't want to hear that kind of thing. Because it means that the Muslim fanatics have validity to their argument that anyone who's not a authentic, pure Muslim is condemned to live in a hell. So I don't see it that way, and I appreciate your calling. We live in a different world than the world of the past, where there was only one way. I once spoke to a holy man, and he said, well, let's look at it this way. Actually, I'm the holy man. I once looked at it, and here's how I look at it. I wrote about it this way, and for whatever it's worth, on this Good Friday, I didn't even want to get this serious. I see a healing wheel. In the center of the wheel, there is God. Think of God. Think of the whole religious thing as a wheel. And the hub is God. And then there are spokes that come into the hub, right? The spokes are the different world's religions. I mean, they all lead to God. That's how I see it. To me, it's a convenient method of dealing with all the different ways to approach God. And including in those included in those spokes would not only be the five principal religions that we know about, but other methods of reaching God. How are we going to dismiss, here in North America, for example, the Native Americans who lived on this continent for 20,000 years at least before our ancestors arrived here, meaning the colonists? 20,000 years the Native American tribes lived on this continent. They had a material culture that was quite advanced. They certainly developed art, poetry. They had their own science, agronomy. They certainly developed many different systems of living. They weren't worshiping Jesus. They weren't worshiping Buddha. They weren't worshiping Allah. And yet they talked about a great spirit. So obviously, if they talked about a great spirit, they were reaching this great spirit, or the great spirit reached them. They certainly had rituals related to living and dying, related to the great spirit. I don't have to tell you more about it. Even if you're a kid, you've seen the Native American rituals to do with the passing of life, the taking on of animal form. So you're just giving a thumbnail sketch. I mean, how do you dismiss that as paganism? You can if you wish, but you'd be wrong if you did. To me, that's one of the spokes of the healing wheel. And that's as far as I want to go today. You know, I don't want to play little rabbi or little pope today. I mean, the thing is, it's a rough passage for all of us. Most everyone that you meet struggles one way or the other with these questions, if they think at all. And if they do, they come to their own determination of how to navigate this crazy thing called life. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know better than you do. I think we all have to find our own way through it. It's as simple as that. I don't have an answer for you on it. And so what is the nation called America? Well, you say, well, it's a Christian nation. Well, it's true. It was founded as a nation, founded by Christians, devout Christians who are running here to practice freedom of religion. But they never imposed their religion on others. They didn't come here to do unto them that was what was done unto them. Nor should we do that. So that's the end of that. It's a great society because we can either believe in God or not believe in God. We can practice our religion in peace insofar as it doesn't teach to kill anybody. And that's, of course, where politics enters. We have to protect ourselves, and we have to be protected from those who come here and use religion as a weapon to infiltrate us and destroy us. That's all. Let's see. KLIF, Debbie, line 7, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
It's an honor to speak with you, Dr. Savage. Well, I had an employee who was a gay, male, liberal, and he quit about a month ago. And it bothered me for an entire month what happened. And after the election, I noticed his whole productivity, everything was going down south. And in March, he finally quit. And an employee called me yesterday and said, well, I found out why he quit. I said, why is that? And he said, well, he couldn't take when I would go to the office in Dallas. I commute from Austin to Dallas, Texas. That all I did was listen to Savage. Well, I own the office. I play you on the radio when I'm in Dallas.
What did he want you to listen to? What was his problem?
He could not stand the conservative way.
Well, that's his problem. You ought to be lucky he quit.
We had was a tech.
Good luck. I'm glad he quit, so you're rid of him.
And I thought, is it?
You never hear an anti-gay statement come out of my mouth, and you never will because I'm a sexual libertarian. So it's not about sexual issues that he quit on. The guy's a communist who uses his sexuality as a weapon to push his communism.
Correct. And he would just attack me because I was a Trump Trumper from the moment.
So he was an ignoramus. What he was a knee-jerk liberal, an ignoramus, didn't know what he was talking about. Trump is the best thing that ever happened to the gay community. It's that simple. I don't understand where they're getting this from.
I don't either, but he was very distracted.
It's a lot of it is hysteria over this whole issue of putting sexuality ahead of the political structure. If you put the political structure ahead of the sexuality, then you'd get some orientation that would be probably saner. But I don't want to go into that either, because it's going to lead us into areas where we're going to get bitter right now, and I think that's the last thing we want. I want to thank you for being such a loyal listener down in Dallas, Texas, where my show emanates from, by the way. People don't realize that. I mean, I'm live in the San Francisco area, but through the miracle of modern communications, my show is transmitted through some phone lines to Dallas, Texas, where the control room is, where Robert Borowski's sitting right now enjoying the aftermath of a pizza along with Cliff. They're satisfied and I'm not. They had a nice pizza. I didn't. Luckily, I communicate with them through the Skype screen. I never have to see them. I can't even smell the pizza, thank God, but I can see it. Then it goes from Dallas, Texas, up to a satellite by a phone line to New York, sent up to a satellite. Then the satellite sends it down to all the stations. It's just a miracle. The whole thing to me is still, I lay in bed some nights saying it's just a miracle, the whole thing. See, I'm one of those kids who, when I get into an airplane, it's a wonder to me the plane flies. I still look out of a window and look at the clouds, and I still can't believe that man has done this. Or when I see what goes on in the streets of America, the gangs, the low mentality, the women fighting over clothing at Walmart, just beating each other up over getting in line somewhere. And I realize that their brains are not really developed. And then I click on a channel at night sometimes, and I see the NASA channel. And at the same time, you see people who are not even behaving on a human level down in this world, the gangbangers, the thuggery. You see that there are humans at such a high level of creativity that they're dealing with other realms, Mars missions, rocket space. It's astounding to me, the variety of human experience. And that because of the media, all we see are the people down on the lowest level of the world that we live in. What if those who run the media would have us focus once in a while on the geniuses in engineering, in physics, in medicine? When have you last seen the glorification of actual scientists instead of fake scientists who don't push the myth of global warming or the myth of this or the myth of that? So there is hope for mankind if only the media would be run by better people. If only we had people who were not as crazy as the Hearsts of our time, who do anything to sell. He did anything he had to do to sell a newspaper. That was his business. Remember I told you the terms such as yellow journalism? Shortly after the Syria bombing, I tried to tell you about yellow journalism and its heyday back in the 1870s, I believe it was, when Hearst and Pulitzer were fighting to be the number one newspaper man in New York City. Yeah, Pulitzer was nothing but a scandal-mongering journalist in his time. He wasn't some great man. He was just selling newspapers like everyone else. And they created stories in order to sell papers. They made stuff up. It was fake news. And the fake news led to a war. They talked about the sinking of the Maine off the coast of Havana. And they published a newspaper which said, definitive proof that the Spanish did it. There was no proof. And I said to you, it's exactly the same as the lie coming out of the Trump administration of last week, that there was definitive proof that Assad had bombed his own people and used sarin gas. Well, as it turns out, now they backed off on the sarin gas lie because they couldn't support that lie. And now they're backing off on that it was Assad himself. Some things really do not change. I'll be back in a moment to be with you on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, it's that time of year where you got to put on a nice shirt, right? Well, I love Charles Tirrett shirts. I was actually a customer of theirs before they started sponsoring this show of mine, because they make the best business and casual shirts you're going to find anywhere. So buy yourself a couple. Ladies, buy your husband one, for God's sakes. Or your boyfriends, you know, they like a gift too. All the fashion from their famous store on German Street in London has been made available online, and they're giving my listeners an amazing savings here. Charles Stewart shirts are the most exquisitely tailored crease-free shirts ever. They're British style. They use only the softest, most comfortable fabrics, tie, no tie, tucked or untucked, and you're going to look great in them. If you order now, you're going to get three shirts for just $99. That's pretty good. That's 60% off, and all CT shirts come with free delivery, a six-month quality guarantee, and free returns, just $99. Gets you three amazing shirts right now at www.ctshirts.com/savage. ctshirts.com/savage. Write it down. www.ctshirts.com/savage. You're going to thank me for this. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. KSFO, Jeff, line 8. What's on your mind, Jeff? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was a 21-year veteran. I was a gang. I'm a retired gang detective down here in Southern California. And I got to tell you, you're talking about gangs and how they've kind of taken things over. The policies and procedures that they have as gang members, I mean, for example, as a gang, as a male gang detective, I couldn't literally not pat down a female gang member. So, you know, it's common.
So they use the girls to carry the weapons, right? Because of the laws that Jerry Brown put in place?
Exactly. You name it. So what, and Dr. Savage, this is written policy, not just your sergeant saying, hey, you're a guy, don't pat down. No, this was written department policy in some places.
Well, so that's why the gangs have spread like a virus in California, because of the geniuses called the Democrats who run this open lottery called a one-party state of communism. And as a result, the streets are awash with crime. There's a reason for crime. There's a reason for crime. We all want law and order, and we want Sheriff Trump to crack down on the crime in America. There's no question that he is doing so. I mean, look, you got to give credit where credit is due. There are fewer Mexicans coming over the border right now. They got the message. They're not wanted here, and they're liable to be kicked out. So few of them are trying to come in. You know, like the gravy train is dried up already.
Exactly.
Let's hope that the law and order sheriff really creates a trickle-down effect of law and order in America. That's what one of the reasons we elected him. Hey, it's Good Friday. If you're leaving me now, have a great weekend. If you're staying with me, I'll be here with you another hour right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We're sitting there grinding our guts out. Meanwhile, people who don't have any brains are down at the Coachella Music Festival, which is the Woodstock of our time. Now, I got family down there. I didn't even know what it was. They're going to 52,000 people at Coachella. I kind of never heard of it, but it's going on right now. It's sort of a Woodstocky thing without the mud. And they don't lay in the mud. It's going to upscale. Like just a music festival, that's all. Everyone walks around. The girls are half-dressed. The guys are trying to be seen. You know, nothing changes under the sun. Everybody wants to be noticed. They have weird costumes and there's music. Sounds like fun to me. I wouldn't go, personally. If they flew me in by Marine One, I wouldn't go to Coachella. I don't like festivals. I don't need a festival. But a lot of people like festivals. If you're empty inside, you need a festival, I guess. Nah, maybe the music's good. I don't know. People go for the music. It's exciting. I think they go for other reasons, not just the music. But all right, it's an opportunity to work on your tan lines down in Southern California. And, you know, people go half-dressed. They want to be seen. And boy meets girl, girl meets boy. Everyone makes believe they're not there for that, but that's what they're there for, in addition to the music. But that's what a festival is. Cleaner, though. Less dirt. no mud, better produced. Everyone's trying to be a movie star. Everyone's a star behind their car. Let's take some calls in the Savage Nation on the radio.
Hey, so I just wanted to tell you a great story because you were talking to the girl earlier about how Christians believe that non-believers in Jesus are doomed to hell. There's a story I heard about a rabbi when he was young was approached by some missionaries, and they told him that, you know, they believe that in Christianity, if it's Jesus, if you don't believe in Jesus, then you are doomed to hell. And the rabbi, as a child, turned to them and asked them, well, Adolf Hitler was a believing Christian. Where do you believe he wound up?
Well, the rabbi is a moron. Hitler was not a Christian. He was a pagan. So right away, your argument is negated. The rabbi is an idiot.
Okay, I'll tell him that.
Yeah, tell him. What? Because he's a rabbi, it means he's a learned man. Most of them are stupid.
No one said he's learned, but I figured.
Many of these rabbis only know the holy books, which is wonderful, but they don't know anything outside of that world, and they're ignorant of world history. Hitler was not a Christian. This is a common mistake that people make. Hitler was a devout pagan who hated Christianity. Moreover, do you know how many Christians were killed by Hitler?
Many.
Well, okay, so let's not make it, you know, what it wasn't. But I appreciate it, Joe. I mean, I understand it's an opportunity to try and knock Christianity, but that's not the point at all. KBET, Las Vegas, Christy, line one. You're lucky you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I don't know if I'll be able to make it without crying.
Well, you got a speaker. You got a national show listening to you, so yes. Tell us what's on your mind today.
We liked your show a couple weeks ago. It was about loss, what people have lost in their life, not a person,
okay.
But...
So what is it that you lost that's breaking you up right now?
I always had some kind of purpose or something I was good at, and that's how I survived ever since I was a child. And I really got angry when I was a kid. I had to find something I was good at because...
I can't, you know, I can't go into a whole psychiatric evaluation here. First of all, I'm not a psychiatrist, but what is it that I can do for you as a stranger on the radio? What do you think I can do for you right now?
How do you, like when you're down, I was so upset what happened to you and Teddy, and how do you get yourself?
No, how took me a while. You want to ask me? Yeah, well, it's an interesting question.
I guess
not everybody bounces back from a situation like that. Some people are upset by it for a very long time. I'm lucky though; I bounce back. I don't know the answer to that. I have my own little ways. It's a combination of things, and it's something I can't give to anybody else. I can't hand a prepackage of how to bounce back from a blow. I mean, I don't know what to say, honey. I wish there was something I could do for you. You seem like you're lost because you've lost meaning and purpose in your life. Would that be a fair description of what you're trying to say?
You're exactly right.
Okay, do you work at this moment? Do you have a job? Do you have a career, profession, anything?
Yeah, and what happened is...
I can't do this right now. It's a national show, and it's not really fair to all the listeners. What is it that happened to you in 10 seconds or less?
Disabled. I have a genetic illness where you get all these nerve tumors, and they found a brain tumor.
Oh, that's so awful. Well, I wish to God there was a miracle that I could offer you, but I have no miracles to offer. The only thing I can give you is the good cheer and sometimes the bad cheer of this radio show. Other than that, like the rest of us, I have to struggle through the everyday and pray for the best and pray that God gives me the strength to go on. And on that note, without being too cruel, I'm going to have to say I'm sorry, but I can't do very much for you at this time. Very sorry about that. And I am. There's nothing. I mean, I'm not a miracle worker. I'm going to open up like a guru shop. All these phony cures out there, you know, like come and visit me, buy me a Rolls Royce. God, can't help people who are down like that. So what's going to happen with North Korea? We don't know. Fatso hasn't set off a test bomb yet. We're waiting for him. China warns U.S. and North Korea if war breaks out, no one will win. So they're trying to be the broker now. It's interesting that China's in the position. That's where they were to begin with. Guy, the guy from China who's saying it looks just like my father. I didn't know I had any ancestry over there amongst the Han people. China warns U.S. North Korea, if war breaks out, no one will win. Well, all they got to do is tell him to stop it. That's all. What do you, he's got to tell Kim Jong-un, put your toy away. That's all. Put your toy away, chubby, okay, because no one will win. What are you telling us for? Tell him to stop it. Where do you think they got the technology from? Brooklyn? Where did North Korea get the technology to develop the nuclear weapons from? You sure there was no seepage from China? Who are they fooling? So this is China, again, in my opinion, playing chess with us, using North Korea as a threat against trade sanctions against China. It's really so clear that even the Trump people get it, I think. That's why they're moving an armada there. I mean, they can see right through this. They know that it's a reaction to Trump's original tough talk on China. That's all. Trump's aggressive tweets make trouble, says North Korea. Look who's talking. I think I'm going to have Korean food tonight. I happen to like kimchi and the other dishes with it. Very hot. They're a hearty people, the Korean people. I was reading a little bit of the history of Korea just to, like, brace myself for the bomb that may go off. It is one of those complicated histories I've ever seen. I couldn't follow it. In 1100, these people came and those people. The same thing, one tribe after another conquering another tribe. Seems like everything went wrong with North Korea when they became communist. That's when everything went off the rails. Look at South Korea. They went the other way, thriving. People are happy, overfed. They make televisions for the world. They make great cars. North Korea can't produce straw, nothing. That's how communism works. You ask the idiots at Berkeley why they push socialism. They have no idea what they're talking about. Look what the socialist nation of North Korea produces compared to the democratic, if you want to call it that, the relatively democratic capitalist society in the South. What more do you need to know than North and South Korea? It is the starkest example of the difference between socialism and our way of life that you could ever find on the whole planet. But don't tell that to Robert Reich and the crowd at Berkeley, all the tenured little losers out there who can't make it in a real world. Now what? Oh, there's so many good callers out there. I don't think I want to take them. Please, if someone's that... I can't... Hey, Clint, please, you know, give me a break here. Let's have a little music break at this time on the Savage Nation. Then I'll come back for another burst of savage wisdom. So the bourgeoisie, they go to dinner. How many dinners can you have until you gag on the food? How many times can you go to dinner and tell yourself you're lucky that you're healthy and you have the money to buy a dinner? You can gag on it. The petite charme of the bourgeoisie, all the people struggling to have a good time over dinner. Most of them would rather not be there, by the way, the middle class. You know, they'd rather not even be at dinner. They'd rather be left alone and not have to go to dinner on their night off. It's a job unto itself, by the way, going to a dinner. I don't know, mate. Is this too cynical for you out there? Nah, all right, people don't see it that way. Most people enjoy dinner out. Dinner out. Dinner. Let's dine out. Let's go to dinner. 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 Let's have dinner. Video shows officer beat alleged jaywalker. That's all they can do, the newspapers, is show cops doing bad things. The heck, can't they stop? That's all they do is show cops doing bad things. Who has taken over the cesspool of the news business? I don't want to take that call on Chinese slaughtering dogs. That'll get me sick altogether. Or the killing of the elephants. Now, you know, there's certain things I can't even deal with. The Chinese are eating dogs. And that's very nice. Put them in a cage, beat them to death so they're fresh when you eat them. Very, very civilized society. Very advanced culture. I love all of the liberals in America who think that somehow Asian societies are superior. Have you ever seen how brutal they are? They don't know anything about Asia. Nothing. Zero. They think because they gave up their Christianity and became a Buddhist that they're somehow in another realm. They go into a Chinese restaurant, they put their hands together and bow, and they go into a chop suey joint in San Francisco, and they ask for a napkin, they bow down. The Chinese guy looks at him like they're insane. They don't know what he's doing. They give him a glass of water, they say, here, oh, thank you, thank you. Guy gives him a chopstick, oh, thank you, thank you. They're supposed to give you a chopstick and a glass of water. Then I love all of the white liberals. When they leave, they thank the guy profusely for serving them. That's what he's in business for, is to make a buck by serving you chop suey or whatever you ordered there. You know, they go in there like they're doing them a favor, like some sacred, you know, cultural ritual they just went through, eating Asian food in San Francisco. Anyway, that's the beautiful thing about looking at things as they really are, is seeing things as they are. Do you realize, do you have any idea that it's 16 minutes, 18 minutes after the hour and I have to take a break? Because I just told you that's what I have to do.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation on this Good Friday. Many of you are taking a deep breath, getting ready for, a spiritually interesting weekend in some regard. Even if you're a lapsed religious person, you'll probably, if you're Catholic, you're going to go to church Sunday, the way Jews go to a temple once a year on Rosh Hashanah. Usually Christians go this Sunday. It's a beautiful thing to watch, all the families getting together. It's something beautiful. It takes away cynicism to see that it still goes on, that people have a cultural, if not a religious, continuity in the country. Richard on KLIF, line one, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Michael. I'm a Catholic, and this is like the coming out weekend for the priest to invite everyone to come to church other than Christmas and Easter. Hey, real quick, open mic Friday. I'm coming to San Francisco with my fiancé next weekend for the first time. I just wanted to ask you what I got to see other than the tourist attractions, as you know.
Interesting. Well, I would suggest that you go walk through a part of town called North Beach. It's putatively was the Italian district. It's more of a yuppie district today, but the buildings are set at a certain time. The colors of the buildings are beautiful in a certain light. A lot of Italian restaurants up there. My friend owns one called Pinocchio. You'll enjoy that one. The North Beach area is beautiful. You can walk up the hill there up to Coy Tower. It's a beautiful area. It goes right up down to the bay. I'd recommend that highly. I'd stay away from Fisherman's Wharf. It's too touristy, and other areas may be a little too iffy. Don't walk around at night in any district, by the way, in San Francisco. I want to read something from a novel of mine about San Francisco in the minutes that remain in this segment called Abuse of Power. One of my first commercial novels. It was a bestseller, by the way, little-known bestseller. Many of you bought it and loved it. And I describe San Francisco in that book as follows. Let's see. Jack had always been awestruck by the morning sun on the bay. On calm days when the water was flat, even a dim sun behind clouds and fog lit the surface in a light show, unmatched by any digitally equipped house on Earth. Here or even in the cabin, as Jack peered out, he inevitably found himself wondering about God, creation, the meaning of life, and all those grand universal questions. In that sense, he was a spiritual man. He knew that life did not end when we died. He had seen too many deaths in Iraq to take the Nat Geo view of things. No, the earth was not created from a ball of fire. God had created the earth and the heavens. No, we did not simply expire like a fly or a seagull. We were judged by God and sent into the next world, judged for the things we did and the things we should not have done, judged too for the things we did not do and should have done, for the things we said and should not have said, for the words we should have said and did not say. Jack was content to maintain his belief in an invisible God and conduct his life accordingly, and he was sustained by this faith. And while Jack himself steered clear of churches or temples, save the occasional wedding or funeral, he deeply admired those who regularly worshipped. And except for one religion, they all seemed to preach tolerance for others. All religions had gone through their phases of crusade and persecution, but only one, Islam, still openly preached conquest and conversion, especially the radical Wahhabi sect. They were anti-women, anti-freedom, and anti-America. Jack sighed, bringing his mind back to the morning as he walked Eddie back home. It was a beautiful day, the air cool and crisp, and he was looking forward to his daily bicycle regimen. Well, I'll stop right there. It's a novel called Abuse of Power. I think you could still find it in bookstores because some of the writing is still interesting to me in how I describe, well, not just the scenery of San Francisco, but let us say the bigger picture of politics, which I have not forgotten. This is the Savage Nation. I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard so far because there's another 30 minutes coming. Today we're talking about the great expectation of this weekend. When tomorrow we awaken, we hope to the world as it is today. But we do not know what the lunatic in North Korea might do, do we? It's only a few hours to go until sunrise in North Korea, at which point it may be a very changed world indeed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. See, I'm not in the news mood today. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it all. No, I realize there's no longer a dessert at Mar-a-Lago. I got that. I get it. The state dinner is over. I get it. Dinner with the president in a cozy little setting in the East Room, over. The night at the Lincoln bedroom, forget about it. Okay, I got it. What am I supposed to do now? Cheer everything he does? Dropping the bomb. Pentagon video shows devastation by Afghanistan blast targeting ISIS. I'm supposed to thrill over that? Yay, they dropped the mother of all bombs. Great. I feel much better. Well, another practice mission. Of course it was a threat to North Korea, the goofball over there. And the goofball switched from a military uniform. Did you notice? Now he's wearing like an expensive suit. You got to look very carefully. Fatso from North Korea went from the military uniform with that weird haircut. Who cuts the guy's hair with all that? He has all this power. All these people are starving to death. Can't he get a better barber? They have no hairstylist over there. What's with that hair do with his? I mean, a guy of a certain weight, you start to look like Porky Pig when you cut the hair that close around the ears. But putting aside the idea that he doesn't know how to get a good haircut, he went from wearing a military uniform to some expensive Savile Row suit. What was that? With a shirt and tie today. He was like trying to show he's a statesman all of a sudden. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Maybe he's not going to set off another firecracker there. Fear of Trump makes illegals disappear from Mexican border. That's a good thing. They're not coming in anymore in the great numbers anymore with the welcoming signs. The welcome wagon isn't waiting for them anymore. Fear of Trump makes migrants disappear from Mexican border. That's a great thing. Their border town shelter used to be full of migrants. We don't call them migrants. We call them illegal aliens. Now it stands nearly empty thanks to America's president. Yes, thanks to the American people who elected the president. We don't want them here anymore. We're sick of it. We have a sovereign nation. We want our borders as protected as the Mexicans protect their border from Guatemala and El Salvador. Gotta go look and see what the Mexicans do on their own border and see if they have a welcome wagon for people coming in from Guatemala, you idiots, you. See what they do to keep their country sovereign. When we start seeing them going south, that'll be the best step, when they start to self-deport, if that happens. Now, I want to be clear on that. I don't even want to discuss it. I've been very clear on this issue, which is this. I have no problem with immigrants who come here to work. I have a huge problem with the amount of social services available to their families and them once they get here. So if this guy's making $20 an hour working on some horrible job somewhere, doing some hard work that you won't do, or your son won't do because he's too lazy getting high somewhere in a college, he's making $20 an hour, $22 an hour, whatever they're paying him. If you add in the social services, the cost of the wife at home with the kids, the medical, the dental, the legal, the this, the that, he's not making $22 an hour. God knows what he's making an hour. You're picking up the tab that the employer's not paying him. That's what has to stop. That's what it's all about. That's all. So what are we going to do about North Korea? What do I know? What are we going to do about North Korea? The guy's a lunatic. What would you do about it? What can you do about it except kill him? And by the way, say, I'm a hypocrite. No, I actually think that they should use major weapons on North Korea. I said that last week. Don't say that that's different than that. Don't say I'm being inconsistent. I'm being very consistent. We had no right to bomb Syria. No right whatsoever. It was a complete invention. We had no right to turn Russia into an enemy instead of an ally against ISIS. That's why I opposed it. But I said, and I say it again, this man is a grave threat to the stability of the world, and somebody has to stop him. Now, whether it will be China internally and quietly, we don't know. Maybe they could send Jesse Jackson over there with Sean Penn. Maybe they can share a big meal with the guy and calm him down. Boy, they could always send Madeleine Albright back. She enjoyed herself over there about 10 years ago. That hag, that warmongering hag who belongs in The Hague. Remember her? Remember Madeleine Albright, that crazy woman, the brisket maker from Georgetown? She went to North Korea. He had 30,000 slaves dance for her. She came back saying it was a beautiful event, like a bar mitzvah. She came back saying it was fabulous. They were starving to death eating glass and straw while she enjoyed stuffing her face with God knows what, all the delicacies that they could steal from the land. So they could send her over there. But I see I got interesting calls now. That's the interesting thing. That's what I want is nice calls today, because I don't really want to talk much more about the news. There's nothing more that can be said that I've already said. Take them out already. Get it over with. Integrate North Korea with South Korea. Give the people a chance in North Korea to make a buck. I mean, they're industrial people, industrious people, the same ethnic group as the South Koreans. Look how well the South Koreans did that they got rid of communism. But don't tell that to the people at Harvard. They don't want to know about Real Life 101. They want to read a textbook about the wonders of socialism. I would rather avoid politics. However, there is a soundbite that I want to play. There's a guy on Fox I was never impressed with. Why he was popular, I don't know. Charles Sourpuss Hammer. I've always found him to be a very, very doctrinaire, predictable liberal, posing as a conservative. So he comes out yesterday, Sourpuss Hammer, and says, I'm not an America firster. You hear this? He suddenly came out of the closet as the liberal he is? Are you listening to clip two? Listen to this. Are you shocked by Sourpuss Hammer? I'm not. Listen to O2.
Well, we don't really know what the Trump doctrine...
I welcome this. I'm not an America firster. I thought it was a mistake to enunciate a doctrine in the inaugural address,
yeah, right,
which is we're coming home. It scared the bejeebies out of our allies.
Bejeebies?
In NATO, when he talked about it being obsolete. It scared in the Middle East, the Gulf Arabs were scared to death.
Oh, no. Okay, so now we know who Fox News is and who they like over there. So let's see. They got rid of O'Reilly. Now they got this creep left. I don't understand people how they ever fell for this Charles Sourpuss. I was never, ever impressed with him. I always thought he was a fraud. In the sense that, what is he? He's a New York liberal. I don't know how they ever presented him as a conservative. I don't understand that. But we don't have to relive this guy. He's just, you know, another one of the talkers. He'll be forgotten in time. He won't be remembered for anything. I don't know what he's ever written that anyone will ever remember. A single line, a phrase, a title, nothing. Zero. Trump on military using GBU-43 bomb on ISIS in Afghanistan. Did he say it was beautiful? All right, here we go again. I got to play it. If he says beautiful, we'll turn it off. Beautiful funeral, beautiful bomb. Let's hear 05 now.
Very, very proud of the people. Another successful job. We're very, very proud of our military. Just like we're proud of the folks in this room, we are so proud of our military, and it was another successful event.
All right, thank God, successful. It could have been a beautiful event, the bomb. I mean, it could have been seen as beautiful. You can't learn to love a bomb in a bomb crater. So then he goes on Moab, the mother of all bombs. And again, he avoids the word beautiful, thank God. But listen to 06. Let's hear what the president says about the mother of all bombs.
Everybody knows exactly what happened. So, and what I do is I authorize my military. We have the greatest military in the world, and they've done a job as usual. So we have given them total authorization, and that's what they're doing. And frankly, that's why they've been so successful lately. If you look at what's happened over the last 8 weeks and compare to what's happened over the last 8 years, you'll see there's a tremendous difference, So we have incredible leaders in the military, and we have incredible military, and we are very proud of them. And this was another very, very successful mission.
I hope so. I don't know what it was. They blew something up in a cave? Does anyone know who was in there? What were they blowing up in there? Who was hiding in there? To me, it was a test job. On a mountain somewhere in Afghanistan, the same way that they tested the destroyer's use of tomahawks on Syria. It's what you do before a war. You're going to test. An actual live, it's nothing compared to a live fire test. I mean, there's a lot of simulated testing, a lot of firing at firing ranges. Not the same thing as a ship at sea getting to fire a live fire exercise on a Syrian air base. That's the real test. So in order to do that, you got to come up with an excuse for it. So you say sarin gas, even though there was no sarin gas. Then you say he did it. Then you don't know if he did it. Not sure if he did it. I have no idea why we did it. I think we know why he did it. That's over. We don't hate Russia anymore. They really are friends. Meanwhile, they tested the Tomahawk missiles on the Syrian airfield. So they're ready for North Korea now, where they should use them, incidentally. I'm on record for saying that. We cannot have a lunatic like Kim Jong mentally un, running around threatening the world like this. You know that Japan's ready to, or has evacuated 60,000 people? This is how serious this is. Meanwhile, here in America, we have the United Airlines passenger dragged off the plane, broke his nose, broke his sinuses, broke his teeth or something. When I watched it, I was appalled, and I saw the cover-up articles, the hate articles that came out saying, well, he was gay and he did it. I said, so what? What do you mean? That justify what they did to him? See, I don't know why they haven't arrested the thugs who did this to the Chinese guy, the Vietnamese Chinese man on the United plane. Why were those so-called officers not arrested? I saw the thug who did it to him. Where's the thug? The Chicago thug. Look who they hire in Chicago to be police. Where'd they get him from, the Crips or the Bloods? Did you see that incident and what they did to this man? There was no justification for it whatsoever. I don't know. The world's crazy. No one thinks anymore. The LGBT crowd at Duquesne is frightened of a chicken sandwich. They don't want a chicken sandwich on the campus. It threatens their safe space. And this one, this crazy one, threatening to set off nuclear weapons. Well, I don't know. China has 150,000 troops. That's what we read on the border with North Korea. At first, I was afraid it was to defend him. But later on, we learned, no, it was actually to knock him off. We don't know what they're there for. That's the problem with China, is you don't know, you can't read them very well. It's an old, you know, stereotype, but it still works. They were very ambivalent. Were they putting the troops on the border to defend against the throwing them out? If the U.S. Went in there, or were the troops there to throw him out? I don't know. You know, this is the problem. I'm only a talk show host. What do you want from me? What you want from me is everything. I pretend that I know everything, and sometimes I think I do, but then sometimes I'll tell you the truth. Nobody can know what's going on. As sharp as Plato was when he was writing about the shadows on the wall, as though he knew what the actors were actually doing, do we really know what the actors are doing here? Well, here we see USA's dropped a massive bomb on ISIS. I guess we're supposed to cheer. That's a good bomb because they're bad and we're good. And Kim Jong-un, if he drops a bomb, of course, is bad because he's bad and we're good. It's very hard to keep which bomb is good and which bomb is bad. Well, let's all cheer. The ratings for Trump will go through the roof even more. More bombs is good for ratings. So expect to see more bombs, and more bombs. It works every time for every president.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Trump's war over? We don't know. I mean, he turned it around pretty good. Like, in one day, it went from Trump to who? I don't know who it is now. But on some levels, we're still getting some value for our money. I mean, I understand he just knocked out the bathroom bill. The Justice Department won't pursue the bathroom bill against North Carolina. I suppose that's a sort of a little victory here and there. And I think we're going to have little victories here, little victories there. How can you talk about this anymore? How is it even possible to talk about this without having your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth? So the generals are having fun. That's all. They're getting to use all the weapons that Obama kept away from their hands. He kept them all away from their hands. No bombs. They had no bombs. They got to test the Tomahawks last week in Syria. They used Syria as our Guernica. False flag, not false flag. It was an excuse for Trump to thump. And Trump thumped, and his ratings went right up, as predicted. Every time any other president got in trouble, all they got to do is have a little war, and bingo, the ratings go right up. Didn't it work for Clinton with Wag the Dog? You forgot Serbia. You forgot the Kosovo War, the fake war that he invented. Well, worked for him. Got Monica Lewinsky right off the headlines, right? So it's a tried-and-true method. And the more war, the higher the ratings. It's just the way it works. So get ready for more war. Maybe not a big one, mind you. I'd say a big one. Big wars are very bad for ratings. Small wars are very good for ratings. So we'll have small wars. A little launch here, a little launch there, here a launch, there a launch. everywhere, launch, launch. And it'll be a beautiful thing. These will be beautiful missiles, beautiful missiles, beautiful. We have big submarines, big, big, big submarines, beautiful big submarines. Very beautiful, very big submarines. I thought that we didn't have submarines anymore, but now we have big, beautiful submarines. So I guess they'll be used soon. They haven't been used in a while. I mean, they're just sitting around doing nothing. They're basically useless. They're training centers of some kind, but they don't actually do anything. And now, of course, we have a president who likes gunboat diplomacy, so I suspect we're going to see our submarines used, our destroyers. Guess everything in the armament, in the entire inventory will be used. And now we're coming up to Easter Sunday. A lot of people do go to church. You're like, you know, fallen, lapsed Catholics go to church even on, they make the appearance on Sunday, they put on the hour. It's very nice to see the families. We're living in such strife right now in the world. When you see what those SOBs did to the Christians in Egypt just last week, it's heartbreaking. What did the Pope say about it? No, he had a mumble. Nothing. Nothing. What are you? He should have spoken a little more forcefully about the Muslims setting off a suicide bomber inside a church. There's almost no Christians left in Egypt. The Coptic Christian community has been there for thousands of years. They should be protected. They're in greater danger than the elephants are in Africa right now. But I don't want to get too preachy right now. I'm just saying, you know, there is always that. Why do you think the Bible is called the Rock of Ages when you think about it? You know, I'll never forget something about the Bible for all you tough people out there who don't believe in God or anything. I got to tell you this story. Very famous prize fighter, long deceased, name was Rocky Graziano. Does anyone raise your hand if you ever heard of him? Great, great fighter, middleweight fighter in his day. But I remember to this day the energy. I was in the room with Rocky Graziano and a rabbi because his daughter was converted, being married by a Jewish, obviously a rabbi, because the guy I knew was Jewish, marrying a daughter. And Rocky was sitting there, and I was so awestruck to be around a champion. Remember what it is to be around a champion. You can remember what that is. It's still a great big deal, even today. But in those days, maybe it had even more meaning. So it was just him, the rabbi, my friend and the daughter in that room. And Rocky put his hand on the Bible, and I looked at him because I didn't know if he believed in it or not. And he saw my eyes. You know, these guys can read everything. That's how they get to be the tops. So he looks at me and he says, listen, kid. He said, don't be so surprised. He said, this is the Rock of Ages for a reason. I never forgot that as long as I live. And I felt that if a tough guy like him could say a thing like that, and I knew he meant it, there must be something to it.
Savage.